Temple, the FTC has cited CarMax, Asbury Automotive Group, Wester Automotive Group for not disclosing vital safety information such as unrepaired problems. I mean, people say, well, CarMax says, or this, right. I mean, what's going on?
Brad, joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chair is Howard Schwartz, Executive Communications Director of the Better Business Bureau serving Connecticut. Howard, good morning.
Good morning, Brad, and good morning, Dan. Not in any particular order.
Say, what is this whole thing that I just mentioned, the FTC? I mean, everybody said, well, CarMax says, we checked with CarMax, and now the FTC says, you heard what I just mentioned.
Yeah.
What about it?
Well, there are three companies. One is called CarMax. The other is Asbury Automotive Group, Asbury. And the third is Wester Automotive Group. Now, when you see a sticker on a used car for sale that says this car has been gone over from head to toe, that it's been repaired if there's any problem, and this thing is perfectly safe to drive. What the Federal Trade Commission found out was these cars are being labeled as thoroughly safe to drive, again, head to toe, fixed. But they were not disclosing that some of these cars were subject to recall, and those recall problems were never fixed. Yet the stickers still said that the car was in perfect working order. So just to give you a rough scenario, we know that recalls are sometimes for brakes or for seat belts or for electrical problems. So, you know, that enough paints a picture of what might not happen when you drive off the lot, but not far down the road. So the final orders announced prohibit CarMax, Asbury, and Wester from claiming that the used vehicles are safe, pardon me, and have been repaired for safety issues. And in addition, the companies have to inform recent customers by mail, recent customers rather, that the vehicles they bought back as far as July 1st, 2013, may be subject to open recalls. Now, there's no reason you should have to go through these problems. Unfortunately, sometimes registration is not passed on the way it should be. But you can go to a website, and it's very, very easy to remember, and it's recalls.gov, recalls, plural, .gov. And that will tell you whether or not your car and many other things, many other products, are subject to recall. But this is a frightening story when you find out that a car that's cleared or any kind of product involved in safety like this, they're saying it's fixed, perfect condition, and you find out it's got safety issues.
And also, some of them practically brand new.
Some of them practically brand new. And unfortunately, sometimes it does take a while for a recall to be identified and then for a company to voluntarily do it. And that's why Better Business Bureau recommends going to recalls.gov, do it on your own, and don't give it a second thought.
Well, you have to be so diligent. You have to do your homework, you know, Howard?
It's true, and especially today because, in a sense, we get the Internet will tell us anything we want to know. Which is unfortunate. You've got to look sometimes for the downside. Now, I don't, honestly, Brad, I don't know how anyone would have found this out unless there were some reports, and it doesn't say, from the Federal Trade Commission. There would have had to have been either a sting or somebody who said, well, what gives? I just got this car, and it stopped running, and it says there's a recall on one of the computer modules. Hmm. I would be angry, but I would also be very frightened and thinking, wow, that was close.
Yeah, no question. Howard, as it is, we do have a lemon law here in the state of Connecticut,
yeah,
do we not?
We still have it.
We do have a lemon law, and Better Business Bureau also has a lemon law sort of program where we can help people and mediate between them and the manufacturers. In a case like this, in particular, it's not something that would necessarily come into play. This one is cut and dried. It's a national set of standards set by the Federal Trade Commission, and they do a wonderful job down there. I've got to tell you, for folks who do what I do, they get 10 times as much information out, but we use them a lot for sources.
Howard, let me bring another thing that is kind of scary. Collection calls.
Oh,
yeah. I understand scammers trying to frighten people by saying the scammers, have filed a civil complaint against the victim. Now that the IRS is using private collection agencies, mm-hmm. how can you tell the call is legitimate?
Great question.
Yeah, well, let's start off about the genuine in general, what types of cons are going around. As you said, people are being called. They're told that they have a civil complaint against them. And, of course, the so-called collection agent says that if you don't give them some money, then, of course, they're going to call the police on you and continue their legal action. You know, just hang up on these. Don't speak to them. Don't press a button to get taken off the list or speak to somebody. And the more questions you ask them, the faster they will hang up the phone. They don't answer anything. One more before we get to the actual IRS muddying the waters is Better Business Bureau has found out about scammers who are pretending to be banks issuing new debit cards and credit cards with embedded chips to steal identities. And what the callers say is scammers have been sending an email to customers stating their new credit card or debit card is on the way, but first they have to update your account information and confer personal banking information, which is just silly. And we can go into the basic do's and don'ts. Now, this IRS collection thing is a little more complex, and it muddies the waters. And here's why. The Internal Revenue Service has hired some private contractors, and they are helping collect money that the IRS is basically not going after anymore. They're old debts. Now, these people may identify themselves as working for the Internal Revenue Service. There are three companies that were picked for this specifically. Now, let's just tell people quickly what the rules are. Oh, and by the way, this muddies the water because we've been telling folks for the past 3 years the IRS will never contact.
That's right.
You. Right.
We've done it right on this program.
Yeah. That's correct. But here's the key. Neither the IRS nor these debt collection companies will call you unless they've tried to reach you several times by mail and by telephone.
Okay.
And where this might come into play are people who have moved and may not have kept their information current with the government. And that's now we see one of the problems with that. What Better Business Bureau is worried about is that scammers are going to somehow take advantage of us and tell us they're from the IRS. So if I can give a bottom line that touches all three things we just discussed now.
Well, Howard, we're going to ask you just to hold that thought because we have a traffic report coming up. So hang on, and then we'll get back.
Calling me Cindy.
No. We were trying to get Cindy. No, we're not. Oh, I would never do that.
And we're not going to call you late for dinner either.
Oh, you know what? I really appreciate that. We were talking about that was a fast traffic report. The bottom line, though, seriously, about all of these phone scams, and we've repeated it before, unless you call out, don't answer the phone if you don't know the number. Don't trust your caller ID. And please remember, if you receive a call, no banks, no government departments will ever send you an email or call you asking for personal information. If you call them, it's a different story. But never, ever, ever will they call you without first sending you a notice by mail. So honestly, the less that we answer our phones, and if we get on the do not call list, the less likely we are to get scammed.
You know, there's another thing that's really bothering me, and I've been reading about it, and this is for parents. And, of course, the kids want to go to summer camp.
Yeah.
And I understand that choosing a safe and stimulating summer camp is not easy anymore. I mean, you just don't know. How do you go about it?
Well, Brad, when you and I were kids, it was basically one size fits all.
Yep,
baseball,
absolutely.
Jump in the lake, that type of thing. Well, now you have camps that appeal to what kids are into or adolescents are into. And you've got to hear the list. I mean, you've got kids who go to camp for sports, gymnastics, computer sciences, to learn another language. I mean, it goes on and on, which is very smart because kids, a lot of kids these days with all the stimulation need something to keep them busy. So it's not as standardized as it used to be. However, before you start choosing a camp, there are a couple of things that you absolutely must do. Get some word of mouth from campers and their parents from the past 2 years. ask them what they liked about the camp. If they didn't like it, ask them why. But here's what you should be doing as a parent. Very important. Visit the camp because you want to make sure the facilities, such as bunks, dining area, medical clinic, and the swimming pool, are up to date. And there are no sharp edges anywhere, and it doesn't look like it's someone can get hurt. Ask about the staff. You want to know whether the staff members are subject to background checks and how they're changed and what sort of attrition there is. This is very important. Verify medical emergency procedures. How far is the closest trauma center? To what degree is the camp clinic outfitted for emergencies? And is a medical doctor on site or nearby? These are not the kinds of things we like to think about, but we have to for our children because we're putting them into the hands of strangers, which speaks to pretty much the last two. One of them is you've got to ask if there are any extra fees, and that includes for activities like outings and overnights. But you also, by the time you hand your children over to those folks to take care of them, you've got to make sure that you know them then, even if you didn't at first. So, in other words, you should know this person or these people who are going to be taking care of your kids. And by the way, I was asked this the other day, what does it cost to go to summer camp? And
A lot.
Yeah, well, it depends, really. It runs from $300 to $2,000 a week. And
wow.
If it's a day camp, it's $100 to $1,300 a week. And what you're talking about at the upper end, gentlemen, is really horseback riding, water skiing, wall climbing, all of those. And those are premiums, which you don't find at most summer camps. So that would be probably the higher end. And those camps also have a better camper-to-counselor ratio.
Howard, you mentioned something before, and we're talking with Howard Schwartz, who is the Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut. You mentioned something before about banks and contacting people by way of mail, etc. What if you agree with a bank to correspond by email? Then is it safe to open that email, or are you still taking a chance?
If you've signed up for it, Dan, you should receive some sort of confirmation from the bank itself. Opening an email is fine, but if you have any doubts whatsoever, anything at all, you call the bank, and because it's in their interest as well to make sure that there are no scams going around. So they have security departments. And you might want to check your bank's website, because when there is a problem involving someone involved in corporate ID theft or pretending to be a bank, they will often post these things on their website. But don't be afraid to give customer service a call.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, anyway, there's a lot going on at summer camp, and
we have more kids.
A
couple more questions we want to ask Howard, but I think we're ready for
that. We're ready for the traffic.
Howard Schwartz with us. He joins us once a month, Executive Communications Director, Better Business Bureau, serving Connecticut. It is supposedly springtime, although I have my doubts with this weather. But that doesn't mean, Howard, we can't engage in some digital spring cleaning. So what should we be doing?
Yeah, most people then don't think about that. It's sweep the garage, get rid of old clothes. But none of that does anything to protect our identity. And given the amount of time we spend doing commerce and other things on the Internet, we've got to think about this. So here's what we should be doing. And by the way, this does not cost any degree of money here. The very first thing you should be doing is thinking about things that are not related to viruses or bad or malware and that kind of thing. When our computers go down, we can lose everything. If you drop it, if it's stolen, if it gets broken, and the lifespan of a computer hard drive is limited. So before you go any further, Better Business Bureau recommends going out, spending a few dollars on what is called a backup drive. You just put it in the plug it into your computer, and you can back up all of your files that you treasure so much, your photographs and your videos and whatnot. Once you do that, go ahead and do the rest of it, and keep that backup drive up to date. If you get something from your computer telling you to update your software, do so, because those updates not only increase usability, but they also patch holes that hackers can use. Secure your smart devices, put passwords on them, because it's not just PCs, but increasingly we're seeing smartphones and tablets. Antivirus software. I know lots of people who live there two ways. One is, I don't need it. I know what I'm doing. And the other is, well, what's the point? I can't do anything about it. Well, the answer is we can. I just don't want people to think that because they have a piece of antivirus software that that's all you have to do. It's only going to be as good as you are in terms of updating it every week. And if you're on every week, then scanning it. And that'll certainly not hurt, and you can still use your computer. And finally, this it bears repeating just about every day, passwords. Please don't use the same password for multiple sites. You can get free password management software, so you don't have to remember a whole bunch of passwords. Because with all the data breaches that have been going on, we know that other people have our passwords and emails, and it's just a question before people get hacked. In fact, I did speak to someone here at Better Business Bureau who has a friend who ran into that very problem.
Howard, this is just an observation. With all of the things that we talk about, and this is everything that people use, this is expensive overall to have everything that we need today, isn't it?
You would think, but if we look back at the price points from one or two decades ago, we're actually doing a lot better than we were.
Really?
We are. A couple of years ago, Brad, if you wanted to buy more memory for a computer, it was considered to be a commodity.
That's
and the
right.
prices would change every day. Now that's not the case at all. And on a thumb drive that you plug into your computer, you have more place to store than you'll ever need. And that replaces a huge hard drive we have to use in the past. And if you go in the store, you'll notice that you can get 8, 16, 32, 64 gigabytes of information in something that fits in your pocket. So from certain standpoints, the price of this equipment...
So overall, it's cheap.
Oh, yeah, the price has come right way down, huh, Howard?
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Laptops are still going to be a little pricey, but you can get all kinds of great computing equipment without breaking the bank.
That's right.
That's good news.
Yeah, it sure is. Howard, we're out of time. We got a minute left. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, if I can, I'd like to give folks information how they can reach us. During the day, 24-7, you can reach us at 860-740-4500, and you can find information on this and other things that you and I talk about at bbb.org/CT. And by the way, there's not all the content you'll see are what Dan, Brad, and I talk about, so you got to listen in.
All right.
Okay.
Very
Thanks
good.
For the plug.
Howard, as always, thank you very much for keeping us informed. We'll talk again next month.
You know,
take care, gentlemen.
Take care.
You might think, Dan.